I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 35. The 1971 BRE Datsun 510. Everyone's like, 1971.
No, that's very good car. Very good.
Boxy little sedans, very fun. Mm-hmm. Ran in the Trans Am under 2 liter category. There were two cars, the number 46 car, which was the most famous one, which was run by John Morton, and the second one, which was run by Mike Downs, and that was number 35. Very iconic cars, and they had very iconic paint jobs, and they were Datsuns, not Nissans, and I'd love to get my hands on one.
Those would be very cool.
And as a side note, Peter Brock, who ran the team, worked for Carroll Selby when they were building the GT40s, so that's the lineage you're dealing with there. So, good stuff there. All right, onto the show. On tonight's episode, we will talk about NASCAR at Atlanta. Pretty much that's what I get to say. It's going to be a lot of news and notes tonight. And then we will look ahead to the IndyCar finale. Baku.
Yes.
Did Seaman Nate get his picks in?
Yes, he did.
He did.
We just got them in.
Look at that. They are on the chat. Anyway, God knows where he is right now. I think he's in Rotterdam. Who knows?
We'll get an answer from him soon.
Oh, yeah. Did you just send also where? Well, there are you. God, yeah. All right. So let's start with the race one of the chase. And, wow, crash fest. We had blown tires, which took out one contender, Larson, early in the race while he was up front. Just suddenly blew a right front tire, and off he went sailing into the wall, destroyed the car. He finished 37th. That was not good.
Yeah.
Along with Briscoe, Buescher, I mean, it was just a mess. The race itself, after that, whatever. I mean, Logano ended up winning the race, so, you know, congrats to him. But overall, it was just a blah race. That's all I got to say about it. I really don't have anything more to say about it. Once again, it was in overtime. Once again, just so everyone knows.
Was it overtime or was it with like five to go?
Nope, it was wins playoff race in overtime.
Okay.
So I mean, this is it's getting ridiculous. Every race goes to overtime because somebody crashes, and you know whether. You know, they get the tap on the shoulder to tell them to crash the car. That's what they do. But anyways. Let's just take a quick look at the standings. It's great. Logano wins, but he's not the points leader.
Okay. I mean, like... But he's in... He was in the playoffs already.
Yeah,
right?
No, right. Yeah. So, but he's not. But you would think with the win, you would be rewarded with points to, you know, a significant amount of points. So you would advance.
Does he not automatically advance if he wins?
No.
Oh.
No, it's all points now.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's
all points. So Blaney is your points leader. followed by Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, Byron, then Logano. And Larson, with a 37th place finish, he drops to 10th. So he's still above the cut.
I gotcha.
So, you know, this is, it's just, it's how goofy this thing is. Anyways. All right. Next race of significance is going to be at Watkins Glen. I'm looking for this one. I'm looking forward to this one because hopefully SVG can just throw, you know, a spanner in the works, as they say. You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll rain, too. That'd be fun. So that's this weekend, 3 p.m. 3 p.m. on Sunday. And as the sun goes down, maybe the race will get delayed and they may have to put lights on the cars.
I mean,
why not?
Why not? But, you know, it's also, I don't know, I'll probably be watching football. I mean, I like the road course for racing, but, like, I don't know.
I have you. All right, so that's right. Where we are at that.
Priorities anyway. In the States are starting to change.
Yeah, well, I'm not really, you know, this format just makes you really want to watch. All right, so let's move on to news and notes in the wide world of racing. And the big announcement today, shocking news, Adrian Newey has joined Aston Martin.
Yes.
And I tuned in for it, and I got a hearty, good morning! It's good to see Big Daddy Stroll there.
He is a character in himself, but it's
great. He is.
We're all here.
He is. Hey, you know what? The guy puts the money up. I mean, the only problem is it's what he's got, who he's got driving the second car. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was the chat we were in talking earlier today or if it was something else, but I mean, that I was reading, but you know, he has done just about I don't want to say everything, but I mean, he has put Lance in a very good spot, because if Newey comes up with a design that propels that car to the front of the field, and it's not that Newey is, you know, the end all be all, however, he does have a very good track record, and he's easily the outside of Lewis and Verstappen, Newey is the most sought after guy in the paddock, because that's how much value he brings to a team. So I mean, there's definitely other stuff around, you know, like what makes a team successful, but he is definitely going to be a big piece and will hopefully bring that car closer forward on towards the front on the grid. And who knows, maybe they nail it with the overall design of the car, and it's a rocket ship.
Yeah, I digress on Lance. I don't think it's going to matter with him. I don't think his heart's in it, to tell you the truth.
The argument, yes, I mean, like, there is that, but I mean, the argument that I'm going after for is, if you give him the most powerful car on the grid,
well,
that no one else can contend with,
what's a powerful car? I mean, that's by engine. What you're saying is the most complete car. The Red Bull wasn't the most powerful car. It was the most equipped car. It was handling everything.
Yeah,
you can have the powerful engine.
You're right. It is most complete car is the best way to describe it.
I think let's put it this way. I think next year the driver that's going to be on the market is going to be Max, mm-hmm. and I think Big Daddy's going to lay the cash out for him, because Big Daddy wants to do two things before he gets out of this. I think he's realizing now that Lance is not going to win World Drivers Championship. No matter what, he is not going to win it. Okay. There is absolutely no way. Okay. And there's no way that Max is going to go there. If they say, we want to sign you, Max is going to go there at the team with Fred, because they're going to want to win the Drivers' Championship. He's not going to go there and have Lance, who's going to be essentially Perez light, as a second driver. He's not going to do that because then it's all on him again. Whereas if it's him and Fred, then it's a chance that two of them can, intend for the driver, the Constructors' Championship and the Drivers' Championship. And I think that would be the allure for Max. And I think that's the allure for Big Daddy Larry. So that's just my opinion.
No, all good.
I think it moves Aston Martin into play because I'll be honest with you, I don't think Max wants to drive for Toto.
Yeah, it would be.
That'd be stressing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it all depends on what he gets offered and what becomes the most
right
lucrative deal to look at.
Yeah, but I have
both
to
in
think,
terms of winning and money.
I know. Yeah, I think Stroll's going to go for them. You know, he's going to roll it out, and he's going to try and do it before Newey leaves because I think Newey's done after this five.
Yeah,
he's not going to do anything more. So. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, too, that would make sense with Max's move to Aston Martin, if that happens, is there's the draw of Le Mans with the Valkyrie.
Or Max.
Yeah, for Max.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but like we discussed today, they can't run a third car.
No, but...
when I say a third car, I mean... You can't put, like, Porsche brought three cars that year that Hülkenberg and those guys won.
Yeah.
This isn't, because you can, you know, if they have a Valkyrie in IMSA, you know, and whatever, you know, they make provisions for those cars, but they don't have what they call a guest car. You know, it would have to be a Garage 56 entry, but it's not because the Valkyrie is going to be running. So, you know, could Max get added to the team with Fred? Yeah, and they shuffle the drivers around, possibly. But who knows?
Yeah, I think coming in as a third driver would make more sense, or a fourth driver, however they divvy
third,
it up.
Well, it's going to be three because they're mandating three drivers. So,
okay. All right,
there's also the possibility, you know, he could come over to the U.S. and run, say, the Daytona 24 or Sebring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's more of a likelihood because the IMSA lineups are all over the place in terms of drivers. There's no three-driver mandate. And the third driver is definitely at the discretion of the team. So that could be a possibility. But who knows? Good. Yeah. That's a valid point. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, I not surprised by the move. I don't think Newey wanted to move to Italy, to tell you the truth. One of the things I did see in some of the interviews that he answered questions about, I think the thing he liked was the fact that he knows who he has to answer to. I mean, essentially, he's got to answer to Mike Crack, but it's really answering to Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, the three of them are basically going to be in touch. So that's where it's going to be. Whereas at Ferrari, Fred's just, you know, and at Ferrari, everything comes down from the top, and Fred's just got to, he just does what they tell him to do, you know?
Yeah.
And the same thing, I think. I think when Dieter Mateschitz passed away, I think that kind of changed the dynamic at Red Bull because he was kind of hovering over that, keeping everybody in check. And I don't think nothing against his kid. I don't think his son is, you know, as you want to say hands on. So I don't think he's as hands on as his dad was. So that's why Christian has a little bit more power.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was all the big Formula One news.
Yeah. I mean, other than I guess just some kind of like F2 and F3 news of some guys.
Drivers. Yeah, kind of odd
getting some shots in F2 for the remaining races in F2 for this season and then also for next year, but.
Where you got guys in the top 15 who can't finish the season, you know, because of, you know, lack of sponsorship and stuff. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I guess I would have to look at it before I make the broad statement of some guys are probably signed up until the F3 season ends to
potentially
pull some talent up and give him a try, you know,
for
the remaining couple of races. I mean, that's this is kind of one of the bonuses that about the F3 season ending so early for the F3 guys, but it's also unfortunate for the F2 guys.
Right, right.
If you know, this is the logic and thinking behind the teams and how they want to maneuver some guys around and try them out. But yeah.
Right.
Oh, and then it was confirmed that Behrman is going to be in for.
Oh yes,
Magnussen this weekend.
Yeah, and we still haven't gone anywhere with the Sauber team.
No, no.
Slash Audi.
But the interesting point I want to bring up is that I think Magnussen has been the first guy to in F1 to fall foul of the penalty point system, and I think there were a couple of guys in the lower series that fell foul of this, but I didn't realize that your points just get wiped out completely.
Oh.
So, I mean, for Magnussen, yeah, it makes way more sense to just, you know, take the race ban and then sit out one and just and then come back with a fresh plate. So, that's kind of for any of the lower teams, I wouldn't understand why you wouldn't take that position, because if you're not scoring points on the regular, then you have, you know, a race. I mean, I know, like, it is somewhat of a gamble to some extent, because it's like, okay, well, we're throwing in a rookie or a new guy, whoever, and then they might not be as capable as your full season driver to get points. But if reliability isn't the issue in a race, or it's not a crash fest, then you're not scoring points and you're just trying to get positions. So if you've been one of the lower teams that have locked up a few 11th place finishes, then where are you really moving? So
gotcha.
I think this just kind of gives Magnussen a bit more free range to make some iffy decisions moving forward, whether for better or for worse. But also, I mean, it looks like he won't be with Haas anymore for the rest of the season, and he might not be in F1 anymore either. So, I mean, it stinks that he won't be able to get this race, but, you know, he can do the rest of these races with really no stress and can do what he wants.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I did read that also.
So yeah, I mean, just a little bit interesting, but you know, you find flaws in system as you start to use them.
Yep. All right. The other big news today: Kyle Larson will run the double again.
Yes.
And this one is a little bit better planned out to take into account for potential weather issues. If the 500 starts and then weather does impact the race. Or it drags on, Larson will swap out with Tony Kanaan. Larson will start the race, run whatever, and then swap out with Kanaan. Mm-hmm. So that was the unfortunate thing, was they didn't contemplate that the last time. Now that it's out there, they know what they can do. So I think that was good, and I think that was more so on the Hendrick side of the fence, so they don't run into that issue of where Larson, you know, they had to appeal the race and all that for when he didn't start, so which is kind of bull anyways, but anyways. So I good accommodation for the Hendrick team there. On the other side of the fence with Spam, Zach, he likes to, I think he seriously likes to think it's hear himself talk.
Just
because, so Pelo,
I saw this litigate or whatever.
Yeah, legal, so they're going to mediation. Thing.
Yeah, mediation.
Yeah, instead of, you know, it's a way to try and negotiate this thing and come to a compromise, you know, without going to court. Okay, so I think that's a plus for both sides. But at the same time, Zach's out there shooting his mouth off saying, well, one driver caused us all this pain and stuff. And then everyone's like, and made us look like the villain. And everyone's going, yeah, but then you in turn, you know, zipped drivers, like they zipped Hinchcliffe a year early. They sign him and they don't even race him. And then, you know, and then Malukas gets, yeah, I know it was David kind of self-inflicted, but still, you know.
They're not really looking too great on that end of the deal right. either.
And then, and then at the same point, they kind of left Rossi out there hanging and they only signed him for 2 years. You know, it's like, Zach, just, you know, silence, okay? He's taking shots and it's like, it's just ridiculous and he doesn't look at inside the house, you know? And I, at the same point, I can understand why some of the folks that they hired have left there, because I think that, you know, the level of professionalism there probably isn't what it should be. So, you know, I think the biggest shoe to drop over there is going to be when O'Ward decides that he wants to go. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, he's kind of stagnated, you know, unfortunately. So, anyways.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends too. I mean, like, some of it isn't just him. Like, obviously, you got to put some of it on, you know, maybe the guys are just missing the setup this year versus last year. But I mean, they can't be missing by much with, you know, how competitive they are. I mean, they've won two races. I mean, one the way they wanted to, one they inherited, but
still, one they inherited, right?
It's not like they've lost their way either, of finding good performance out of the car. But it's just not always up there contending. Where like even if Ganassi is slightly off, like they'll make it up in the race. Like they do their thing and come out where they are. But that's also who they are too. And then Penske's just been dominating, but self-inflicted.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Some other stuff. Captain Legg will be back in the coin car 51 for the final race.
Very good.
And then just kind of looking ahead, Ed Carpenter's still. A lot of chatter now about what's going on at Ed's place. So, you know, so we'll see what happens over there. But news is starting to percolate there. And then with Foyt, they're still saying that they're targeting Ferrucci. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, to Malukas, I'm just wondering. I don't want to, I know they say that they're close and everything, but I'm wondering if maybe they're talking to Rossi.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I mean, that would be interesting, and then it would also get him.
Well, it'd be a good compliment to Malukas to have. I think Rossi and Malukas actually got along, you know, during this short time at McLaren. So I'm just curious if, you know, that's something where Rossi's kind of going towards, you know, he's starting to get towards the further out on his career. You know, he's there, he's helping to coach Malukas up. And, you know, obviously they're definitely coaching Malukas to go to Penske. That's what they're looking to do.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, whether it's this year or next.
I think next year or the year after. I think it could also give Rossi an option to get into Penske as well. Because, I mean,
yeah,
whether they just take Malukas or they take both Malukas and Rossi.
Well, they're not going to, because I think everyone's still, the other two are still tied up.
Yeah,
Newgarden, I mean, and Newgarden and
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin is still tied up. You know, the other thing is maybe they run it and they got Rossi there and they got Malukas there, and then they realize maybe Malukas really isn't ready,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he needs another year. And it's like, okay, and then, you know, maybe they sign Rossi, and then it's like, okay, well, then I think one of them, either I think McLaughlin's up next. It's like, you know, I think there's a little bit of, angst between him and Newgarden right now. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little edgy there. So who's to say that, you know, McLaughlin might want to stick around. Maybe, you know, something opens up where he goes. Say Dixon hangs it up. Ganassi will jump on him.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just saying, you know? So, you know, there's things like that, which you got to – when you start looking around, you go, yeah, you know, that could make sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, but we'll see. I mean, Ferrucci, he does deserve – I mean, he's been in the top 10 all year. He's had some strong performances lately. So,
yeah.
Problem is, it's like, you know, I think he's bringing budget. So, mm-hmm. You know, the question is, you know, I don't know if Rossi is or if they got the budget that they can sign Rossi and, you know, whatever, and they have the money. Who knows? We don't know. So,
right.
Anyway, so that's just some thoughts there on that. Also, Paul Tracy. News.
Oh, what's he up to?
PT was hit by a car while on his bike in Arizona this week and was hurt.
That was...
So we'll send best wishes out to PT.
Wow, that was not what I expected. Sorry to hear
that. No, that was a bummer. Posted it on his Instagram page. That was not what I was expecting to see.
No, that's too bad.
So wish Paul best.
Yep.
Let's see. Sports car news. Oh yeah, Jota had this was awesome. Hold on a second. Let me just find it. So, Bob, Ferrari protested the race because you know how it ended that wacky, like they extended the race? You know, it was like red flag and it was run down and the race organizers went force majeure and decided to extend the race.
Oh, for the Spa race.
Yeah. So after the race, of course, Ferrari protested. It got denied, but then it went to a final appeals court, and they kicked that out and said, nope, and Jota keeps the win.
So nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
Except
just so we know.
Politics.
Except people wasted money on lawyers.
Okay.
So, WEC this weekend? Fuji?
Yes. Yeah.
For the 6 hours? Should be fun.
I thought we had another weekend, but no. That's
no.
I'm all for 6 hours of Fuji.
Yep. Hopefully no rain.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully no rain, but yes, always a good time at that the speedrome there.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if there's a little bit of rain, it won't hurt.
Yeah, I don't like it. Anyways, I want to see a race. All right. Bouncing around.
Although we'll have the... the sightseeing buses. What's that called?
Oh, the Circuit Safari.
Yes, Circuit Safari. Yeah, that's what we'll get this weekend.
Always fun. That's during what, practice?
Yes.
That's always entertaining.
Yeah.
I still think it's kind of cool, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they get away with it. Anyways.
Look, keep doing it until someone says something.
All right. So staying in the IMSA world now. Windward Racing will continue in GTD next season with a two-car effort. I have one car or two-car effort?
Mm-hmm.
One-car effort, sorry, in GTD Pro. GTD Pro? Oh, no, GTD class. That's right. Price Awards. I forgot. Anyway. AO has confirmed that Rexy and Roxy will be contending at Indianapolis and at Petit Le Mans.
Ah, very good.
So we'll have dueling dinosaurs for that, and then I believe the dragon is at both races too. Spike.
Cool.
So busy weekend for AO. Wow, this can be busy 2 weeks for AO. Holy crap! Wow. Jeez, that is. Pretty impressive. All right.
Harder Racing loses out on the
race. Yep. Unapproved parts.
Unapproved homologated parts.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, that is not.
So those came out of the Aston Martin parts trailer. So the Aston Martin took the big hit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. That's not good. Ah, this just broke. Literally just broke. Toyota on their home race. They get a BOP, a non-favorable adjustment. They added weight.
My homework for this past week was going to be to look at the hypercar BOP tables, and I didn't get to that. So that is going to be a must-do for
So apparently they were fearing that Toyota was going to romp away with this thing. I'm like, oh my God. Anyways.
My instinct is telling me that Toyota has been hit the hardest on BOP.
Yes.
With this whole hypercar stuff.
And continuously throughout the season.
Yes. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, they are a strong team. They've built a very strong car. And I know you have to, you know, find the, literally what BOP is finding the balance.
But are we penalizing them for being a constant throughout the series when there were no cars running, you know, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, but now it's just because they have a leg up in terms of the amount of knowledge they have with the car, they get penalized.
Well, it could be, but it might not be, because the other thing too is, I mean, take Ferrari, for example. They were the only team that rocked up in with everyone else and just absolutely stomped the competition. You know, I mean, Toyota got hit with the bop pretty hard during that point too, but I mean, Ferrari has been ahead of just about everyone else this whole time, and then they've been slowly reeled back somewhat as well. But I mean, if you've done a really good job designing a car, like, it's gonna do well regardless of what you throw at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the FIA or whoever's in charge of the BOP process there probably has a harder job at getting it all right, because, you know, you're only going off of limited runs, and you don't have infinite testing available to you to get it all dialed in. But I'm sure they're trying to make their best guess with what they have and try and put forward the best solution that they can.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's to try and get everyone back on the same level. And as long as the race is competitive and you might have the same people winning all the time, as long as it's competitive and close, that's the important thing.
Right.
Because once you start talking about like tenths of seconds, or, you know, the race coming down to within 5 seconds at the end of a 6-hour race, like, you did a pretty good job. So.
No, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard too. Like, if you think that your whatever your BOP adjustment is worth like half a tenth, I mean, half a tenth over 6 hours becomes a lot of time.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Just a couple other things. The provisional entry list for the Asian Le Mans series, which will be November. Is that when that starts? December in Sepang. They start in Sepang. They do a doubleheader there. Then they get a doubleheader in Dubai and a doubleheader in Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
They have 44 cars, 11 LMP2s, 6 LMP3s, and 27 GT3 cars. It's pretty strong.
That's a healthy field.
That's a healthy field. And one of those entries is Manti.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
I mean, Manti is in just about every GT3.
Yeah, they hadn't done this. So, one Nikita Mazepin will be driving this year
in LMP2.
Yeah. He was driving there this year. So
yeah,
he drove there earlier.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he drove when they did the season this year. So, he's back.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. They're not back. Sorry. I read that wrong. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Oh, they're not back. All right. I take that back for you, Nikita Mazepin fans. But anyways, I digress. All right. I close out that. Anyways, I think that's all the news. I think that's all the notes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a very light week. But, I mean, most of the racing will be coming up this weekend.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to our picks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with IndyCar. It's one race for the title.
Yes, and three people can win the title mathematically.
Except one is eliminated on the start of the race.
Yeah, literally lap one.
Lap one. So it really comes down to Palou versus Power.
Yep.
So Power, I think, essentially needs Palou to blow up on the first lap, or the second lap, and he's got to win the race. I think it's the only way this works.
Yeah, I mean, the points difference is, I think, 30 points or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, again, like, if Power wins, then Palou has to be 10th or lower. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's more than 30 points. Oh, man. This is...
Right.
Hold on. All right, so if the point spread is 33 points, then, okay, if Power wins, then Palou needs to finish worse than 13th. And, or no, I'm sorry, he has to finish either 13th or lower. Assuming there's no bonus points for hold on. So you can get additional bonus points if you're the pole sitter. There's 1 point there. There's an additional point for leading a race lap, and then there's an additional 2 points for leading the most laps led. Okay. So
gotcha.
Say Power has the perfect weekend and gets a grand slam and just leads every single lap. Then that would be 4 points to his name there, and so that would be what? He's 29 points ahead, so at that point, Palou would have to finish 11th or lower. But, so, I mean, again, like, it's pretty unreasonable stuff at this point, and Power has to finish... I think Power has to finish no worse than third. Yeah. Yeah, no worse than third, assuming he can rack up some of those bonus points, too.
Gotcha.
So it's a tough ask. And yeah, like you said, he pretty much needs to pull it up. Have another Milwaukee race too. All right. Well, with that, picks.
Let's do Seaman Nate.
Nate has gone with the underdog Will Power to win the race and become the championship.
Gotcha.
His dark horse is Santino Ferrucci.
Okay.
All right. It's Nashville. I'm going to go with Newgarden. I think Penske will somehow shoot themselves in the foot over this championship and cost themselves a win.
Right.
And with Newgarden winning, I think Plo will become the champion. Dark horse, I'm going to go with Linus Lindquist.
Got it. All right. I am going to go with Colton Herta to win.
All right.
Plo to finish second to take the title. Well, not to finish second. I'm sorry. Plo will finish the race in the top 10. We'll take the title. Mm-hmm. My feeling is that Herter and Dixon and the other Honda Power cars will, of the front-running teams, will gang up on the Penske cars. That's, it's going to be manufacturers.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Herter for the win.
All right.
And that, I believe, would be his first oval win.
Check.
Don't believe he has an oval win.
I will check. Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is going to be Connor Daly.
Connor. All right.
Who's coming off an up and down weekend at Barber this weekend
in the
Random Vandals car, BMW. They finished on the podium in the first race, were leading the second race, and 5 minutes ago ran out, had a fuel pressure problem.
Oh.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So that's my pick. So,
right.
So Nate's the outlier, thinking that Power is going to win the championship.
Well, I mean, he did see him give one of his most iconic performances in New Hampshire. So,
the double barrel.
I could see the bias.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Formula One.
Yes.
We are in Baku.
Yes, and surprise, surprise, Nate has picked Sergio Perez to win Baku.
No, he hasn't.
No, I'm kidding. No, Nate has gone with Lando to win.
Mm-hmm.
Piastri to finish second, so he's got a McLaren 1-2. Oh, man. So he's predicting the downfall of Red Bull at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got Sainz at third. His dark horse is Pierre Gasly.
Excellent. Okay.
All right.
I am going to go with... I'm going to take Max to win.
Okay.
I'm going to take Lewis for second. And I know it's going to shock everyone, but I'm going to take Perez for third.
All righty.
All right, I just figured that the way the car didn't work at Monza is going to work totally opposite here and at Singapore. That's how I'm looking at it.
Okay.
If it rains too, I give the advantage to Max as well. My dark horse, I got to go Tsunoda. I'm going to fall on the Tsunoda thing. At some point, he's going to come through.
Alrighty. Man. You know, even looking at last year's stats, like, it is really hard to go at it. Because, I mean, like, last year, you know, Red Bull dominated, but Aston Martin was also in a strong spot at this point in the year, and McLaren was like just getting their stuff together at this point. I think I'm gonna go Leclerc to win. I think he'll go back to back. Because I think Ferrari has no idea what they have, and they can just turn up with a rocket, which is very cool. You know what? And I'll even say it's a Ferrari 1-2. I think that'll be the kicker. With Max in third.
Mm-hmm.
My dark horse. Let's just go with Albon at this point. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Okay.
I mean, other than that, I got nothing else. So.
No, I think we are all set.
Yeah.
For the weekend.
We got IndyCar Championship being wrapped up this weekend at Nashville. WC is running for the second time in the same month. This time at Fuji. And NASCAR is reminding me again. It's a Watkins Glen.
Watkins Glen.
Okay. All right. It's a race I can bear to watch, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And F1 is at Baku.
For the, there we go.
The start of the street doubleheader. Because we got Baku and then Singapore next week.
Excellent.
So.
All right.
But yeah.
And on that note.
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.